live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Green Party leader says people in the live events sector can look forward to going back to work next month. The Cabinet Subcommittee on COVID-19 is to meet again on Monday to finalise a timeline for reopening. The South Hospital Group says there's been a significant increase in the number of people presenting to the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital. The number of people awaiting beds on trolleys this morning also increased significantly. There's been an increase in the number of people homeless across the country, according to government figures released this afternoon. There are 36 people homeless registered in Donegal and Leitrim. And Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh on Afghanistan. Later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. Agus Beg, Colm Ferter, going leis an nuacht. We begin with the ending of that Cabinet Subcommittee on COVID-19. It concluded its meeting this afternoon. Members have agreed to meet again on Monday, where a timeline for reopening will be finalised. That's due to be published on Tuesday. Well, the Green leader and Transport Minister said afterwards people in the live events sector can look forward to going back to work again in September. Restrictions around confirmations, communions and public transport are also expected to be among the first things to be eased. As he left today's meeting, Minister Eamon Ryan was asked whether those in the entertainment sector will be back to work in September.
Yeah, I think so, yes. And not just them, like there's people in a local bingo hall, there's a local bowling group club, there's a whole range of different activities that have been held back by this virus. You know, we still need to be careful, to be trusting a lot of responsibility, you know, to kind of, we're not going to rush back, not going to do it recklessly.
Well, the number of deaths in Ireland increased by 10% in the first 3 months of the year compared to the same period in 2020. There were over 9,500 deaths in the first quarter of 2021, up from almost 8,700 in the first quarter of last year. Almost a fifth of deaths were linked to COVID-19, with over 1,800 people passing away with the virus. New CSO figures show the main causes of death were cancer and circulatory disease. A study has found the risk of getting a blood clot from coronavirus itself is much higher than from either the AstraZeneca or Pfizer vaccines. The research was based on a study of more than 29 million people who had first dose vaccines between December and April. The study was led by the University of Oxford. The South Hospital Group says there's been a significant increase in the number of people presenting to the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital and an increase in the number of patients with COVID-19. That's resulted in long waiting times in the emergency department. Also this morning, there were a large number of people awaiting beds on trolleys in the emergency department and across the hospital in general. With more detail, here's Áine McGlinchey.
In a statement, the South Hospital Group say Letterkenny University Hospital has seen a significant increase in patients presenting to the hospital, many whom they say are very sick and need to be admitted to the hospital for treatment. In addition, the hospital is caring for an increased number of patients with COVID-19. The hospital has acknowledged the long waiting times being experienced from being admitted at the emergency departments to a bed on a ward are very difficult and have apologised for the inconvenience and distress caused. People are being asked to contact their GP or NOIDOC GP out of our service in the first instance if they are a non-urgent case. The number of people waiting on a bed at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning has trebled. 27 people are awaiting a bed at the hospital, up from 9 yesterday. According to the INMO's latest Trolley Watch report, 11 people are in the emergency department waiting on a bed, while 16 patients are waiting on wards elsewhere in the hospital. Elsewhere in the northwest, 17 people are waiting on a bed at Sligo University Hospital, 13 people in the ED, and 4 on wards. Nationally, 240 admitted patients are waiting for beds.
A no-swim warning remains in place at Cooldaff Beach due to an increase in bacteria found in bathing water. According to beaches.ie, which works in collaboration with local authorities and the Environmental Protection Agency, water quality at the Blue Flag Beach deteriorated as a result of suspected sewage discharge from a wastewater treatment plant, sewer network or CSO. A resample of the water has been taken, but the notice, which was issued yesterday on foot of a sample taken on Tuesday, will remain in place for 72 hours. There's been an increase in the number of people who are homeless, according to figures released this afternoon. The Department of Housing report shows 8,132 adults and children were homeless in July, up from 8,014 in June. In the Northwest, 77 people are registered as homeless, including 8 families. Of those homeless in the Northwest, 36 are in Donegal and Leitrim. 2,129 children are without homes across the country. Dublin accounts for the highest number of homeless people at 70%. Rowan McNamara from Focus Ireland says the fear is this upward trend will continue.
Focus Ireland is concerned to see that the number of people homeless has now risen for the second month in a row. And regrettably, all the indicators are that the rise will continue as the private rented market is constricting and the number of evictions is on the rise.
A Donegal deputy says there needs to be a focus on ensuring the safe evacuation of remaining Irish citizens in Afghanistan. It's understood efforts are continuing to get 60 Irish passport and visa holders home. However, they're being warned at present to stay away from Kabul airport. 85 people were killed and at least 143 injured following a terror attack at Kabul airport yesterday. That death toll, we understand, has now risen above 100. Deputy Joe McHugh told the 9 till noon show this morning that an alternative evacuation solution must now be found.
I was in touch with Minister Coveney this morning and all efforts are going to be to look at a solution. Now, obviously, Kabul Airport is not an avenue of opportunity, so all avenues are going to be looked at. Obviously, the real concern now is for the Irish citizens who are still there. We need to keep the focus on and ensure that we work collectively on that. But also, it's really important that we keep a focus on what we can do as a country in terms of welcoming as many of these people who are living the nightmare, as I mentioned, to ensure that we try to take them.
In terms of the evacuation process, you know, and it has been linked, and not surprisingly, as opposed to our role in the UN Council, the fact that we have to rely on, I think it was the Finnish and the French to get our people out, you know, that we're one of, I think there's only one other country in the EU that doesn't have the capability to, you know, to go in under our own steam and get our people out in this type of situation. Is that something that you believe that needs to be looked at?
Yeah, look, I think so. And look, I did mention that to the minister, and his point was that even if we had a plane on standby, the big issue, the big task and the big challenge was actually getting people to the airport. So even having a plane, that wouldn't have overcome that challenge. But look, absolutely, look, if that's something that needs to be reviewed, I certainly welcome that.
And that was Deputy Joe McHugh speaking there to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show. The Royal Black Preceptory will be marching in a number of towns across Northern Ireland tomorrow on the last Saturday in August. Parades will take place in Derry and Castledurg. Police are warning of potential traffic delays, particularly around Castledurg, with people being urged to allow extra time for journeys. With more, here's Stephen Murphy.
In Derry, a feeder parade starts at Glendermot Road at 9 o'clock, travelling down Spencer Road and across Craigavon Bridge to the Diamond. After a short ceremony at the Diamond, it'll return across Craigavon Bridge before dispersing at Glendermot Road at 10:30 a.m. The return parade leaves May Street at 4:30, continuing down Spencer Road, across the Craigavon Bridge to the Diamond and up Bishop Street to disperse at Stable Lane. The main Tyrone parade takes place in Castledurg. The parade leaves the main car park in Castledurg to circle the town at 11 o'clock and then to the assembly field for 12:30. The main parade leaves the assembly field in Castledurg at 1 p.m. and circles the town before dispersing at Main Street car park at 3:30. There are also parades in a number of other areas, including Limavady, Coleraine and Auchnacloy.
173 additional community employment and TUS scheme places have been announced for Donegal. It's part of the government's plan to tackle unemployment, with over 2,600 additional places being made available across the country. Minister Heather Humphreys says the schemes are central to giving people the tools and opportunities needed to secure employment, provide a vast range of work experience, skills development and mentoring for people who are long-term unemployed. A full list of the CE and TUS schemes receiving additional places can be found on our website, highlandradio.com. Meanwhile, the Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council says funding to enhance streetscapes and shopfronts in Donegal could make a huge difference. Castle Finn, Lahey, Burnfoot, Falcarra and Milford have all been included in a new €7 million scheme, with September 7th, the closing date for applications. Councillor Jack Murray says it's the first time the scheme has run in the county, and he's urging businesses and communities to work with the council to ensure that the scheme's potential is maximised.
It may be a relatively small amount of money, but if spent smartly and in the right way, I think it can make a huge difference to the five villages and towns in Donegal that have qualified for this funding. And I think that that everybody should avail of it, the community and the businesses in those villages should get together and see what they can do for the betterment of everybody who lives there.
The applications close in September, so you'd be encouraging people to get together sort of fairly quickly over the next couple of days. I know a lot of preparatory work is going to be done already in several of these areas, but for those who might be thinking about doing it, this really is the time to get together now.
It is, and I know that the local representatives in each of those areas will be already engaging with their local community, touch base with the council and see what could be done. I know that I have been already in contact with the county council regarding my own village that I grew up in, Burntfoot, to see what we can do there, see how we can best use this money. And I think it's a very exciting time for towns and villages, and it is a time we just put our shoulder to the wheel and work together to make sure that we do our best for the places that we live.
9 in 10 Irish businesses have seen a rise in cyber attacks in the past 12 months. Findings from the EY Global Information Security Survey found over half of cyber security executives here feel more exposed to a major breach than they should be and say it requires additional investment. Of the 1,430 Irish recipients, just a third agreed that their executive management fully understood the value and needs of cybersecurity teams. Ian Bailey going to France to face charges would be like sending a chicken into the coop while the fox waits inside. That's according to Mr. Bailey's solicitor, after the French president suggested in Dublin that the former journalist should face trial in Paris. With more, here's Tom Douglas.
Emmanuel Macron said yesterday that a new trial in Paris could be organised for who he referred to as the condemned man in relation to Sophie Tuscan de Plantier's murder. In 2019, Ian Bailey was convicted at a French court in his absence of killing the filmmaker in Skull in Cork back in 1996. But he's never been charged in Ireland and has consistently denied any involvement in Sophie's death. Frank Buttermer, the so-called condemned man solicitor, says there's absolutely no way Ian Bailey will go to France.
It's like asking why a chicken would not go into a chicken coop when the fox is in there already.
The former journalist has been the subject of two High Court cases with French authorities seeking to extradite him. Both were rejected. Mr. Buttermer says there's no legitimate reason why Mr. Bailey should be pursued so doggedly.
There is absolutely no tangible or realistic evidence which links Mr. Bailey to the crime. The Irish state does not recognise the conviction of Mr. Bailey in France.
The murder, which happened nearly 25 years ago, has been brought back into focus by two recent documentaries.
Birdwatch Ireland says a seagull cull would be illegal and unwarranted. Pest control companies have seen a 50% rise in call-outs related to nuisance birds this year. There have been calls from some politicians for the number of seagulls to be reduced, but Niall Hatch from Birdwatch Ireland says that's impossible.
A cull of gulls in Ireland can't happen because it would be illegal both under Irish law and under the EU Birds and Habitats Directive. So this is not something that can be permitted to happen. So a cull is not something that can be on the cards. Also, it's really unwarranted because what we've actually seen is in the population of gulls, particularly the herring gull, which is the main species we're talking about here, their population has actually declined by 90% nationally over the course of just 30 years.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15, time for sports news. And Oisin, lots of speculation today about Cristiano Ronaldo and where he's going. Could be good news for United fans.
Well, the speculation has ended, Donal, because Manchester United have announced they've reached an agreement to re-sign Ronaldo. The Red Devils' neighbours Manchester City pulled out of the race to sign the 36-year-old, leaving the door for the five-time World Player of the Year to make a shock return to his former club. United have confirmed an agreement has been reached, subject to agreement of personal terms, visa and a medical. At 36, Ronaldo is not of the age profile of player the champions were wishing to recruit, nor did they feel he would fit into manager Pep Guardiola's preferred style of play. That, of course, was at a City. But it all started to move very quickly from a United point of view over the course of the last number of hours. A slight hint maybe from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer during his press conference today, saying that
they were there for Ronaldo if he wanted to rejoin Old Trafford. And it looks like now the five-time player of the year is on his way back to Manchester United with an agreement reached between the sides at the moment. Juventus leaving for around £21.5 million, it's been reported at the moment. Elsewhere in soccer, for the fifth time in the history of the FAI Cup, Finn Harps and Derry City will clash this evening at Finn Park with a place in the quarterfinals at stake. Both sides go into the game off the back of good recent form. Will Seymour is suspended for Harps, while Ollie Horgan will have to watch from the stands as he serves a one-game ban. James Akintunde comes back into the squad, but Cameron McJanet looks set to miss out for Derry. There's an 8 o'clock start tonight in Ballybuffet, and there will, of course, be live commentary here in Highland. Dermot Doherty will be joined by Declan Boyle. Former captain Boyle is expecting goals tonight and feels last week's hat-trick hero Tunde Olalabi could be hitting the mark tonight again.
Last week's performance, his performance was overall was brilliant, as good as performance I've seen at Finn Park in a long time. He showed great composure. Three goals were excellent finishes, and he has that pace. But we know that times this season he's got opportunities and probably hasn't put them away, but last week his form and his, I suppose his strikes and finishing were of pure quality. So if he can produce that sort of form against Derry City, but listen, Derry City last week they changed it up a wee bit and they went five at the back, so that'll be interesting to see will they do the same in Finn Park. So, and on top of that too, Owen Toll is probably for me one of the better centre halves in the league, and he'll be looking to keep Tundy as quiet as possible over the 19 minutes or running into extra time. So yeah, that's an interesting game. A lot of ifs. Obviously Derry as well, you know, that since the last time they played in Flint Park, they've added in Jamie McGonigal and also Junior, so they've got a real potent threat up top as well. So yeah, listen, I do suspect there will be goals in the game, so it'll be interesting and who can concede the least amount of goals on the day will obviously win the game.
Declan Boyle, their former Finn Harps captain, who of course will be on duty tonight alongside Dermot Doherty, will be live from Finn Park for the Big Cup Derby. Our coverage will start at 7:50 this evening. Elsewhere in the competition, two non-league clubs have the chance to claim top flight scalps in the second round. St Mochta's make the trip to Oriel Park and play the Holderston Dock, while Waterford will play host to Kilnamana. The other games see Cork City welcoming St Pat's to Turner's Cross, and UCD will play Longford Town. Well, in the Irish League Premiership this evening, there's two games at 7:45. Larne host Coleraine and Portadown go to Glenavon. The route to glory for clubs in the Europa League was laid out at this morning's draw in Istanbul. Celtic will go up against Bayer Leverkusen, Real Betis and Fenerbahce in Group G. Brendan Rodgers' Leicester will meet Napoli, Spartak Moscow and Legia Warsaw in Group C. West Ham in Group H with Dynamo Zagreb, Ghent and Rapid Vienna. And Rangers have been included in Group A alongside Lyon, Sparta Prague and Bromby. Celtic manager Ian Postecoglou believes Liam Scales could have a big future at Celtic. His move to the Scottish Giants from Shamrock Rovers was completed this morning for a fee of €600,000. The defender has signed a four-year deal at Parkhead. To golf now, Rory McIlroy continues to share the lead at the head of the field in the BMW Championship in Baltimore. He birdied one of his opening two holes in the second round a short time ago to move to 9 under par. Joining him in 9 under is Sebastian Munez and Hudson Swafford. They are 4 under for their opening 9 holes off the second round of the competition. Along with McIlroy, the lead by one, Bryson DeChambeau, Sergio Garcia, overnight leader John Rahn and Sam Burns all sit at 8 under par. And not forgetting about Shane Lowry, who of course will start from 1 under. He's expected to tee off at 25 past 5. He is heading to the first tee and we'll get a second round action underway shortly. In Gaelic Games, it's a huge day at Croke Park for Tyrone GAA, with the county involved in a doubleheader at GAA headquarters tomorrow. First up are the Tyrone Miners, chasing a first All-Ireland title in 11 years when they take on Meath in this year's under-17 decider. That is followed by the much-talked-about COVID-delayed senior semi-final, with the Red Hands taking on Kerry for the right to play Mayo in the final. GAA broadcaster and journalist Paddy Hunter knows preparations have been far from ideal for Tyrone.
Absolutely not. I was talking to a few players. At the end of the day, if you're in Tyrone, you sort of know people and you'd be talking to players even off the record. but they're all thinking certain levels of return is going to be a problem. Not everybody's going to be 100% fit. That is a fact from day one. Nobody's going to be 100% fit going into this one, bar the players who avoided COVID. Some of the players were really badly hurt by COVID, both physically and mentally, because it is a knock-on effect. If you're running after coming out of COVID and you know, maybe take an extra breath, you think to yourself, oh no, is this long COVID? Is this... So they have a lot of problems that way. But I suppose the mentality of them is they're getting to Croke Park, talking to one player in particular yesterday, and he was delighted to be playing in an All-Ireland semi-final. And I think that the extra 2 weeks will have made a big impact to allow that. But it was never going to be fair to allow them to go to play on the 21st mm-hmm. or indeed the previous week. It wouldn't have worked, Oisin. That's the reality of it. And you wouldn't wish that on any team. And Kerry, to be fair, being sportsmen as they are, wouldn't have wanted to go into an All-Ireland final without playing a game either. So that's going to be a big scenario. I don't think it's going to play a big part in the outcome. It's going to be a better team in the day.
Paddy Hunter looking ahead to Tyrone against Kerry tomorrow. Well, it is a big day of inter-county championship action with two games for Tyrone at Croke Park. But there's also club championship matches being played around the northwest tonight, Friday, in Derry. There's three games in the hurling championship. In Group A, Slochneagle taking on Ballinscreen. Kevin Lynch is up against Lave and Swatra play Namaha. Those games all start at 7 o'clock. Here in Donegal, there's senior hurling championship matches as well. Satanta meet Buncrana and McCool's are up against Carndonagh. While in the junior hurling championship, two games as well. Dunlow play Éire and Four Masters meet Satanta. Finally, in cricket, in the international T20 match, Ireland taking on Zimbabwe today. Ireland were chasing 118 for victory. They were short of that by just 3 runs. Zimbabwe winning the match by 3 runs earlier today. There is, of course, T20 action coming to the northwest. Ireland involved in games next Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Sinead in Sport Donal, Bay Major Ash Arish Amara, Egg at Daw a Clug.
Gurmogat Ashin Agusanish Unlucht, Alev Ek Colum Ferreter.
Shaver Mahasa Colum Ferreter and Shalin, the Prieve Skelty. Teletcher Scholta Eganara Stach Nigeltic to Jack Chambers, Hagath Run Realtis. Concurrent Nagivna Artu, Agod Dulgus, Eliat Nigeliga, Fui Akna Janga Ha Offigula. Agase Fui Agalov Ekturish Bonkai. Leri Aristach na Geltachta an frustraha sa wahi in she mar gyal ar an imalu a renew ar an geliga le lin na panjema. Lian her srai liekti ar lina ata a raktal ag akad of riaga na herin con seal si her agus airacht colum kella a chomaru an chartan sa hogin. Agri an trai liekti I janta le chaste lian na geliga le triacht na geliga agus na galtar kelcha Mar farch den Kelluru Colum Kella Mila Kui Kid. Korotus Lena Lecti Jikeni Shoi Hart, Slan He Shedarai Guji Mina Sauna. Emmet Siranashkaton Tellu Olish Egg Colum Kella Bunk Net. Falsha Har Garlisti Nagradam Commersaja Erectus Nageliga Erin Kid Ladden Visha Huggin. Jenin Nagradam Sarwaihis Igursi Krailtrukta A Ahanch Mar farch den Kelluri here. Ahan Tsawin. Fals Shiu Garlas de Gradam Lor Nablion and Chartin Shoi Hart, Comai, I go farch la Forest Nigeliga, to Ark Lor Jag Anyam Niha Emliana, August and Lor Fain All Shiha de Hodj Ashturi Gidor in a mask. August to Park Sigeltucht in Nunan All, Kurta Erkranacher con Arigat a Walu. Con Ashina Amaniokta a Hogal in Nere, to common Namaya Imon Factus con Park Emraha Nua a Hogal, I Gahar Gera, August Jesh, Toka Aku, Dagini Park in Yeltakt Dunanal a Wuhunch. Shim Mahodsha Eligolier, Slanagus Bannock.
Coramahagath Cullum, Agusanish on I'm sure dry for the rest of the day with light breezes, good sunny spells in most parts, but mist and fog will linger along parts of the coast. Dry tonight as well with light variable breezes, patches of mist and fog developing in many areas with lows of 10 to 13 degrees Celsius. Mist and fog clearing on Saturday morning, giving a largely dry day. Some sunny spells, but cloud will increase from the north as the day wears on. That'll bring one or two light showers. Afternoon highs of 19 to 21 degrees Celsius generally in light north to northwest or variable breezes. Cooler near windward coasts in that Highland Radio News for now. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Before we go, we'll take a look at the closing headlines this evening. The Green Party leader and Transport Minister says people in the live events sector can look forward to going back to work in September. The Cabinet Subcommittee meeting on COVID-19 concluded this afternoon. They'll meet again on Monday before finalising a timeline for reopening that should be published on Tuesday. Meanwhile, discussions on the possibility of running electric picnic will take place over the weekend. The number of deaths in Ireland increased by 10% for the first 3 months of the year. Almost a fifth of deaths in the country in that period were linked with COVID-19. A study has found the risk of getting blood clots from coronavirus itself is much higher than from either the AstraZeneca or Pfizer vaccines. And the South Hospital Group says there's been a significant increase in the number of people presenting to the emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital. Meanwhile, numbers waiting this morning on trolleys rose significantly. Back again at six. Good evening. The habitual notices for this Friday evening, the 27th of August. The death has taken place of Jim Sweeney, Mean Drain, Dunloe. His remains will repose at Madeline's funeral home on Sunday from 5pm with rosary at 8pm. Funeral mass on Monday morning at 11 in St. Cronan's Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in Mahary Cemetery. The house is strictly private, please. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral is limited to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has occurred in London of Deirdre O'Neill, Nate Thompson, formerly of Drumbow Stranorer. Funeral leaving McCool's Chapel of Rest, Ballybuffet, on Sunday morning at 20 to 12 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorer at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in Stranorer Cemetery. Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Stranorer. In compliance with current HSE and government restrictions, the house and funeral will be strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place at St. Joseph's Convent of Mercy, Newton Kennedy Street, Strabane, of Sister Marie Wiley, formerly of Drumra Oma. Removal from St. Joseph's Convent of Mercy, Newton Kennedy Street, this evening at 20 to 7, going to the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane. Requiem Mass there tomorrow morning at 11, with interment afterwards in St. Mary's Cemetery, Drumra Oma. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to St. Vincent de Paul, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the convent is private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at mcnmedia.tv/camera/Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane. The death has occurred of Violet Gibson, née Gamble, Brocca, St. Johnson. Violet's remains are reposing at her sister Bertha Gamble's residence at Transala, St. Johnson. Funeral service there at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the St. Johnson Presbyterian Church Cemetery. The house is private to family only, please. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired, to the Donegal Hospice and Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. And the death has taken place of Tony Stevenson, 32 Towncastle Road, Strabane. Funeral from his home tomorrow morning at 20 past 9 for Requiem Mass in Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Aware NI, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Lechpatrick.